Here. And are we recording the meeting?
Yes, we are.
Super. All right. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to part two of managing projects using Microsoft Visual Studio Scrum 1.0. This is a continuation from the webcast we did just a few days ago where we talked about what is this new template, how to install it. I gave you some shortcuts on how to get that installed a little easier. Some scripts to help you with that. And then we did just kind of a cursory walk through the template, looking at the different artifacts, the work item types, the queries, and the reports, and got everybody some bookmarks so that we can track down some guidance on our own online. And in this one, we're going to actually use it and go through what those activities would look like when you spin up a new product development, when you spin up a new sprint, daily activities, as well as maybe when you wind a sprint down. And a lot more demos and more prescriptive guidance in this discussion. So real quickly, the company I'm with is Accentient. All we do is this kind of work. We focus on Visual Studio ALM and the practices and processes around it. We help our clients understand, implement, customize, performance tune, and really leverage Visual Studio ALM tools and the practices around it. We have a close working relationship with Microsoft, as well as the person that invented Scrum, the father of Scrum, Ken Schwaber. We've been working for the last couple of years on a lot of Scrum projects where Scrum and Visual Studio intersect. As a result, our consultants are MVPs, Microsoft Regional Directors, certified professional Scrum developers, and even certified trainers. And who am I? I'm Rich Hunthausen. I'm the president of that company. And in addition to having written some authoring some development books over the few years, I do this for a living. It's a great job. I get to meet dysfunctional teams every week and help them understand maybe where some of the problem areas are and how a good combination of people, process, and tool improvement can help them deliver better quality software. So jot the email down if you have any questions after this event. Feel free to write me. We're going to do a quick review of the Scrum template in one slide, and then we're going to get into those different activity areas and go through pretty much in the form of a demo as to how you would use this to implement Scrum using Visual Studio. So if you've got some questions, fire them off as we're going along. Just interrupt me. I do not take it personally. Or if you want to wait until the last bit of the live meeting, we'll have a period where we just kind of go silent and let people talk and get the questions answered. I'm happy to field questions over email, too, in the coming days. So don't be shy. Okay, let's do a quick review. We went through this on the previous webcast. We have the following work item types in the Scrum template. There's a sprint work item type, which is kind of a new thing. It maps one-to-one to the sprint iteration nodes that you set up on the project, and it just gives you additional metadata buckets for start date, end date of the sprint goal, and any sprint retrospectives that you want to capture. The product backlog item is essentially the requirements, or the user story or scenario, if you're familiar with the MSF templates from the previous versions. It represents something that you want, some new incremental functionality that you want in the product. So a feature, in other words. Task, pretty much the same as you're used to in TFS. It's, a piece of work that's assigned to somebody and has a state, has hours remaining. And in Scrum, tasks are supposed to be broken down to where they're 8 hours or less. So something that you can accomplish in one day. Impediment is anything that blocks a team from getting their work done or getting their work done, productively. And in the game of Scrum, this is something that the Scrum Master would identify and manage. Maybe they wouldn't have all the tools they need to actually remove the impediment, but it is sort of their backlog of work to do, the Scrum Master. Bug, well, we don't like to talk about bugs, but they exist, so we need a work item to capture, the bug information, including not only the steps to repro it, and if you're using Microsoft Test Manager, that can basically just be handed to you automatically, but also what the expected behavior is or the acceptance criteria. One thing I spend a lot of time with on teams is communication and product owner all the way down to the people writing the code. You need to know what's expected of these PBIs and bug fixes for them to be a success. And it's all about conditions of acceptance or acceptance criteria. We can't read each other's minds, so be surprised how far a bullet will go. A bullet can then evolve into a description, can evolve into a test case, and then it can evolve into a passing test case, and you've got the bug fixed to everybody's satisfaction. The test case and shared steps, work item types, those are pretty much straight out of the MSF Agile 5 template. They didn't get touched too much in the Scrum template because the Microsoft Test Manager needs to use those. As far as queries go, pretty much the ones that work with these work item types. You've got an all sprints query, a product backlog query, which returns PBIs and bugs, because collectively those two types of work items represent your master list of what you want the product to do. Any tasks which have been marked blocked will show up in the blocked task query. Impediments, that's kind of like I said, that's the almost like the Scrum Master's backlog of work to do, is to work on removing those impediments. The sprint backlog includes those PBIs and bugs that you've identified committed to fix or implement in that sprint, and then the accompanying tasks that go along with it. Test cases, pretty straightforward. Unfinished work and work in progress are just looking at the tasks there. And in the third column, the reports, pretty much the only three reports that Scrum cares about are a release and sprint burndown, a velocity, and that's it. You know, so in one of the first versions of beta of this Scrum template, that was all that shipped, were those three reports, because honestly, that's all Scrum cares about from a work management perspective. Now, in version one, we actually got some engineering reports snuck in, the build reports and the testing reports, and I imagine more will come. It's just a matter of, you know, editing the RDL and some of the MDX queries to pull from the right, you know, the right pieces of work item data. So people were asking, why did we need a Scrum template? You know, we kind of went over that reason on the part one webcast, but essentially this maps one-to-one with teams doing Scrum. It, you know, it uses the exact terminology. It uses a more simplified workflow state transition. You know, for example, PBIs don't end up closed or completed or resolved. They end up done. You know, in Scrum, we're very big on definition of done. So guess what? PBIs can move to done. Tasks move to done. You know, we really use the D word a lot in Scrum and in the Scrum template, as you'll see here shortly. So another review here are the activities that you do around creating a new team project collection. Some of this is administration work that I don't want to get into, but essentially, you know, at some point you're going to create a new team project collection that will house your Scrum team projects. Maybe you're going to use the default one that was created for you initially, or you can create a separate one. For this demonstration, I'm going to be using one I called Webcasts, and then you want to make sure you configure your SharePoint reporting and lab management and build settings, and be sure as a final step that you upload the Scrum template. So I actually blogged a little batch file that helps get the not the process template uploaded, because that's pretty simple using the process template manager screen, but the SharePoint template, so that you'd be sure that any Scrum team projects you create will have that look and feel on the SharePoint site. So this is just a bit of review of what we did a few days ago. The new stuff. All right, we're going to do a new product. So our product is the Northwind website. We're going to create a website or implement some new functionality with that website. So our team project is going to map one-to-one to our product. You know, Scrum is great. It doesn't have anything to do with software development. It's all about product development. And whether that product is software or, you know, a newly landscaped garden, or, you know, a radio with hardware components, it doesn't really dictate software and software practices. So that's where, you know, we have to interpolate a little bit, and that's one of the reasons we put together this 5-day professional Scrum developer course, which I'll talk about here towards the end of the cast, because we really do have to say, hey, in Scrum we call it this, in software development in Visual Studio it maps to that. So I've got some of that I'm going to show you here as well. One thing you need to do, though, is make sure that you've got your work item areas set up and your iterations, and I'll go through and get that set up correctly. Edit the sprint work items so that they map to the iterations. And I don't want to get too far ahead of ourselves. I'm not a big fan of creating sprint work items, you know, from here for the next 15 sprints, because we can't read the future. We don't know what's going to happen. It could be we reach a minimal marketable set of features halfway to what we thought was our goal, and the product owner says, I'll take it, ship it, I want you guys working on something else now. Or the polar opposite of that happens, and you the team just, you know, keeps failing their sprint goals and delivering, you know, low quality and the market changes and, you know, whatever the business reasons are, you cancel the project. So I'm a big fan of just keeping the next iteration created as you need it. There's also bringing work items into the product backlog, you know, to start to establish that product backlog. I'd be surprised at how many teams I talk to. You know, I say, hey, where is your master list of everything that you want this product to do? I would think that's a very easy and obvious question. And you'd be surprised. Well, you know, John, he's got a bunch of stickies on his desk. Those are the bugs to fix. And over here, this person's got all of the new features for this one module. They're in an Excel spreadsheet. And then over here, this guy downloaded, you know, Requirements Magic 1.0 from SourceForge, and he's got all of the features for some other module in there. And there's no unified product backlog. Everyone gets that. They need that. But very few teams that aren't yet doing Scrum or moving to Scrum have it to start with. So in my demo here, we're going to start with just an Excel spreadsheet and bring those in as work items. Makes a lot of sense, and we'll go through those steps, kind of a manual steps there. Then we just need to tune up some queries and maybe begin to establish our definition of done. So let's jump over now and do this. Bear with me as I switch over to my desktop. All right, great. Let me see if I can make this a little smaller so I can actually see the edges. Can't give me 2 seconds here, and I'm going to get this a little better sized.
Oh, that's great, Richard.
Thank you. Just kind of getting the right size so I can actually find the start button at the bottom there. So I've logged in as Andy. He's my fictitious TFS administrator here. And let's just kind of review our team project we've got created. So we've got our webcast collection. We've got a Northwind team project. It was created using the Scrum template. So the first things I want to do, it's a little bit of administrivia, but I get into this question a lot, which is, how do you map the Scrum team, so the product owner, the Scrum Master, and then the actual team members themselves, into the groups in TFS? So I've got my opinions, and I know that they're not shared by everybody in the community, even in the Scrum Visual Studio community. So I want to show you what I've got here. I've got an administrators group that just contains Andy and Paula. I've got the Scrum team, which is all the developers, the product owner, and I've even got my Scrum Master in here. And then I've got a stakeholders group, which are the people, you know, the chickens on the outskirts that are watching and looking at the product and, you know, offering suggestions and maybe putting in new product backlogs items into the backlog. What I recommend is, on a team project, we'll come in here to the group membership. And obviously the person that created the team project and any TFS admins, they enter their world as project admins. So I've got Andy here. I've got Scott. I think Scott was the one that created this team project. And then you've got contributors and you've got readers here. And what I like to do is I really don't use the contributors group. I will go into the project administrators group and I'll just add in my Scrum team. And a lot of people right here are saying, wait, why would you put Joe Developer in as a project admin? And that's because, well, in Scrum, you know, these are cross-functional, you know, self-managing teams. And if we need to have one of the team members go and, you know, create some new areas, or, hey, would you go create this new Sprint 8 and create a work item for it? I really don't like the security in TFS projects to block people. So in my world, what I recommend, and everybody's different, is all the team members, all the developers are project admins, so that there is that, you know, shared trust and everybody can work without any kind of blocking there. Doesn't always happen in the real world, but in the perfect world of Scrum, which I'm speaking of in this webcast, the whole Scrum team is going to be a project admin. And the readers, well, we're not going to trust our stakeholders, so we're going to add the stakeholders in, so just the readers group. So they can review the work items on the, you know, the web access, and they can run the reports, but they can't really change anything. All right, so close that down. We've got now the Scrum team is brought in as admins, stakeholders or readers. You know, if you wanted to maybe make the product owner, you know, only can work in work items but can't do anything in source control, I could see how you could get creative on your permissions at that point. But for the sake of this demo and what I kind of recommend in general, I'm going to stick with what I just did there. And I've also got these little shortcuts out here. I know starting in Windows Server 2008, you couldn't do this great trick that I always like to do, which is just find Visual Studio and do a right-click Run As. You know, it's Run As Administrator or Run As Nothing. And I know there's some shell, tools you can download and get. So what I've done here is I've got some little batch files. If you guys are doing demonstrations or any training events or webcasts of your own, I'd be happy to share this with you. It's pretty simple. If I wanted to run as somebody else, like maybe Paula, the product owner, I just say, hey, run as, user is this person, and then just go run the dev environment. So it's great for demos because I just pop this up, prompts me for Paula's password. Don't tell anybody, but it's the super secret password. And then we, are greeted with our familiar box of how do you want to configure Studio, and then we'll be in here as Paula. The thinking is I'm going to have Paula do some things, I'm going to have some team members do some things. Let me configure some of the areas here real quick while Paula's configuring. And I'm thinking for our high-level areas in Northwind to start tracking the work, we're going to have an administration, a community, yeah, thank you, a customer area, marketing, orders, and we'll also have products. You can arrange these one-dimensional, two-dimensional. I tell teams getting started with their areas, you know, keep it somewhat simple. Map it to high-level, functional or logical things like the modules in the application, and make sure that everybody from the developers all the way up to some stakeholders understand the nomenclature. And if you get your geeks in there defining the areas, you're going to have, you know, ASP.NET, and then under there is MVC, and underneath there is, you know, XML schemas, and when some business person comes to log a bug in somewhere, they're going to be like, I have no idea what technical area this is in. So I'm a big fan of keeping these consistent, keeping these understood by the entire organization, and keeping it mapping to logical or functional ideas. Okay, so we're over here now as Paula. Let me just take a second and get connected to that team project. And webcasts, Northwind, excellent. Now, to blast in work items, there really is no ideal way to just take the sticky notes off of so-and-so's desk and the items written on the whiteboard over by such-and-such's desk and the items out of Excel and the items out of, you know, Requirements Magic 1.0. You need to do the busy work and get the items in there. There are APIs you can use. You can build your own, converters or even bridges if you want to build a connector that keeps two systems in sync. You know, we've been asked a number of times to build a connector to keep, Bugzilla. You know, they want to keep their Bugzilla out there to track bugs for not just Visual Studio projects, but other projects, or a number of these out there. Enterprise help desk systems, and you can use the API or you can use the integration platform on CodePlex to build something like that. But I'm a big fan of just using Excel. You know, if you want to put in some work items, like some product backlog items, you can just fire up Excel. And it'll do its little breakdance here, and it's connected to my project and my server. And then let's say that my enterprise has this awesome spreadsheet out here with my backlog items in it. This is exported from whatever system I want. So I've got some things in here which are bugs and some things in here which are PBIs. And I'm just going to be very low-tech about this. And I'll just bring them over. So my titles go there. And my work item types, these are all product backlog items, except for this one is a bug. Okay. And that'll then drive some of the other default things. Let's go into our columns here. And let's bring up for all work item types, we want our description. Notice that we've got description and description HTML. I always seem to get this one backwards, so I'm just going to be a freak about it and bring them both over. And what else we need to bring in? We've got also our, let me just look on my source spreadsheet here. Yeah, so we've got our priority and effort and our value. You know, thank goodness we've got the product owner to kick in some of these things. I saw a great tweet from the Agile conference last week. It was something like, if you don't have the courtesy to provide the business value for an item, we won't give you the courtesy of providing the effort. Something to that effect. I thought it was pretty good. You know, because so many times they just want to blast these items out into a backlog and not put in a value. Just have you kind of, you know, give the effort and they'll prioritize it based on effort. But without getting too much into the weeds here, you know, these three fields are a good starting point. I've seen other teams in Scrum add additional columns here, which might be, you know, technical dependencies. Like, let's say, for example, that we have to do this one before that one just because of the architecture or you know, installing something or whatever on the server. Well, that would then drive the priorities of being different here. So I've seen some teams will actually have, you know, some technical dependencies here. I've also seen other teams have like a learning value. This is pretty interesting too. Very, very mature Scrum teams will actually have a learning value and say, you know what, this very large, you know, number 20 here, which you think only has a value of 20 of 10, which means it's going to be a priority 99, like it'll never happen. But you know what, it's got an awesome learning value because none of us on the team know Silverlight yet, and that's a Silverlight user story. So, you know, if we get a vote on the value of it, we're going to vote it very high. You know, and a mature Scrum team would look at that, and that might affect the product owner's priority and make it a little higher. And you see, I see a lot of variations out there. I think it's pretty interesting. So I'll leave that like it is. I will delete my ramblings here, and let's bring in some other fields now. So we need our priority and our effort. And also our business value. So let's pull this up on the PBI here. There's our business value. There's our effort. And we've actually got our backlog priority. Okay. So I'm doing this very, very low tech. So our priority is going to look like that. Our effort is going to look like this. Good news is you only have to do this once, and then you can just manage it in Visual Studio going forward. And our business value will look like this. Title, business value, effort. So here's our description. We should probably put our description in, or we're not going to get very far. Okay, so user stories, as a, I want, so that. And I'm not going to be using that description column there. So this is looking pretty good. Let's go ahead and assign them all to Paula, the product owner. Each team can do it their own way, but it's kind of just a base, you know, knowledge that I'd like to tell people about is, hey, for lack of a better rule, the product owner owns all work items in the product backlog. And let's go ahead and publish this. Okay, so we've got some work items now. If we pop back over here to Studio, we can run our product backlog query. And hey, we've got some items in here. And the default is to run it in sorted order by priority here. Looks like I had a careers, which is a zero. It's probably not what I wanted. Did I goof that one up? I did goof that one up. That should be an 11, 12, and a 13. All right, so let's, oh, wait, wrong book. Forgive me. And then we'll publish this again. And then we'll come back over here and we'll rerun our query. Ah, there we go. Gunspecer. So it's interesting. The product backlog query, let me just edit this real quick. gives you not just PBIs, but also bugs. And some teams, you know, disagree on that. They'll say, no, a bug should be a standalone thing, and then we should create an accompanying product backlog item that that links to it. So there's a product backlog item that says, fix the bug. For more information, see linked work item bug. You know, and I think that's just busy work. I think that the bug can be, you know, kind of a standalone item and be in the product backlog on its own. So one of the last things you might want to do here is, as an activity for getting a new product or a new team project started, is just create any missing queries over here. So you'll notice there's not one that shows you all bugs. So let's just create one real quick. You know, work item type equals bug. And we really don't care about the state. We probably should, but for the sake of time, I'm just going to leave it at that, and we'll just call this the all bugs query. Save it in the team queries folder so that everybody can access it. And, you know, what's great about that is, in my world, all the team members are project administrators, so they all have that permission to create new team queries. You know, again, that's giving, bolstering my case there for that permission. All right, we'll come back. And next. I said next. There we go. So we've got our project created. We've got it configured. Next thing we want to do is maybe plan the new sprint, whether it's sprint 1 or sprint, you know, 101. There's some repetitive tasks that we're going to be doing in this template. And at a high level, you want to make sure that you've got the iteration node created. You know, if you're doing a new release, like if we're on release 7 now, sprint 1 and release 7, you want to make sure you create the high-level and low-level nodes in there. You want to make sure that you modify your current sprint queries because they're all hard-coded for the last sprint. You want to make sure that you've got the corresponding sprint work item. Always good to be verifying the product backlog. In fact, Scrum tells us that every sprint, the team should be budgeting some time to work with the product owner and groom the backlog, which grooming the backlog is just a fancy way of saying, go sit down periodically with the product owner and be looking at upcoming PBIs. Help him or her understand the technical costs, any technical dependencies, help him or her maybe even prioritize things. You know, I would hope that a product owner is an expert in the domain, an expert in the decision-making process, has, you know, is the voice of the customer, the voice of all the people behind him or her. Never works out that way. You know, product owners can sometimes be the weakest link in Scrum, and they really maybe are relying on the team for more information than they really should be. That's a bit of a dysfunction. It'd be a bit of a smell if the product owner is asking the team to help with the business value and then indirectly the priority of these deliverables, but it does happen. So not getting into that dysfunction, just know that it exists. That routinely you're going to be meeting with the product owner and helping him or her keep that backlog in good shape. Because you never know, you might get done with your committed work early and need to go back and ask for some more work. You should always be looking at your burndown reports and velocity reports to know what your average velocity has been the last few sprints, to know if you're about to commit to too much or too little or just the right amount of work. You know, the way Scrum works is your past track record in how you've worked as a team to deliver increments of functionality is the best way of predicting the future. Everything gets better, though. The team gets better. Your use of the tools get better. Your planning poker skills get better, you know, estimation. And then what you want to do is you want to make sure you leave your sprint planning meeting with some of the tasks identified and even linked back to the PBIs. And then you can be running the sprint backlog query throughout the day for the days for the sprint to make sure you've got the right tasks. All right, so let's bounce back here. And I'm just going to pop in here as Scott, the Scrum Master. And let's go into the portal. And let's pop into our team wiki. The Scrum template and Visual Studio today doesn't really have a first-class way of storing the definition of done. So what I tell teams is, you know, other than a big poster hanging above the team area, A good place to store this is maybe as a new wiki page on the project portal. So we call it the definition of done, and then we can just put in here some items, you know, so everything is coded in pairs. All new tests pass. Code coverage, let's not set our expectations too high, is, you know, at least 25%. And let's see, everything checked in and labeled. And all acceptance criteria met. Which is basically, what I like saying about this one is, if the team's definition of done says all acceptance criteria is met, which means basically when the product owner sees it during sprint review, they should just basically rubber stamping it. If you've got the luxury of having an available product owner throughout the sprint, have them stop by and say, hey, we're about finished with this one PBI. You know, we think we've met all of your acceptance criteria. Can you have a look at it? And then at the end of the sprint, during sprint review, when the demo is actually taking place, product owner can say, yep, already seen it, looks good, next. And, you know, you can really kind of get on with the sprint review if you get little mini sprint reviews all the way through the sprint. And that's why I like to put this in here, because it kind of forces that. The definition of done is completely up to the team to define. It can be influenced by the corporation, by the product, by the release. But it is something that the team owns, and the team should start small and ratchet up. In other words, start with reachable goals. You know, if I started off with code coverage 100%, we could never finish anything unless we had 100% code coverage. And then you go back and you drop down your definition of done, which is a smell, a dysfunction. All right, so let's create this. And now we can tell the team, hey, if you want to know what the definition of done is, go to the wiki on the portal there. Let's bounce back here to our iterations and just review these. Good, there's our areas, our iterations. And this is what the default template creates for us. Releases 1 through 4, and then each one of those has sprints 1 through 6. I think that's a little much, but it works for us. We're about ready to enter sprint 1, so what we want to do here is, that looks good. Come over here to our all sprints work items. Find here the one work item which matches sprint 1, and then put in some additional data. So we're going to say that the sprint begins today, because we're about ready to have our sprint planning meeting, and it's going to go for 2 weeks. So I love having discussions with teams on when do your sprints start, and almost no sprints start on Mondays and end on Fridays, because those are just weird days. People are, you know, tired or off on vacation. So I find a lot of teams like to start on a Tuesday and, you know, end on a Wednesday, or vice versa, middle of the week. It also helps having, you know, your sprint reviews and your planning meetings not up against the weekend for people who are overseas, and it's, you know, a day ahead or a day behind. And our sprint goal here is going to be something generic, like to increase the public's awareness of our products. And maybe we're going to pull in a couple of stories that fit that sprint goal. So we'll save that work item. We're just going down through our little checklist here. That's really all we have to do. I think another thing that you should do every sprint is go over to the current sprint queries and just edit these one at a time, because they're hard-coded in here with the iteration path. So if we're now on sprint 3, you just want to, you know, bump this up from 2 to 3 so that these queries work. You know, you got to do it sometime, and I don't care if it's when sprint 2 is ending or when sprint 3 is beginning, but you need to make those changes. And then we should take a look at our product backlog, because we're about ready to go into our sprint planning meeting. And what's great is if we're a mature team, we can come out here and say, okay, you've got the priority, you know, right down the list here. We know that the effort, 8, 3, 3, 5, we can look at our velocity report and say, you know what, you know, we've been doing around 20 points per sprint. So if we try to grab all of those, that's going to be what, 8, 3, 11, 14, that's 19 points if my math is good. And if we tried to do this one, that would be 24 points of work. So we just know as a mature team here that we've been averaging around 20. So we're going to go ahead and commit to do, you know, those 4 items. So what we want to do is just maybe come into this one, and we're going to make the state from new, well, these would actually have all been approved. I meant to mention the states here. The state transition for product backlog items are new, and then they can go to approved, committed, and then done, or they can go from new to removed or from approved to remove, you know, for whatever reason. So let's just wave our, well, I don't even know why I'm doing it this way. I should come back over here and do it the easy way. So we're going to change all of these states here to approved. And what is this for? All right. I'm going to do it one at a time then. It's got upset at me about something. All right, save the results. Good enough. So now that we're going to commit to doing these first four, we're going to change the approved to committed, and this will actually then show that we're working on it in sprint one. We should probably also, while we're in here, set the iteration to sprint one. I'm kind of doing this a little backwards. All right, so sprint one, committed. Sprint one, committed. Sprint one, committed. You can see how this is really a pain to do this in Team Explorer. There's some better tools out there for doing this. Okay, so that's how in Visual Studio you say we're going to commit to doing those four PBIs. Set the iteration, set the state, and now they will start to show up in the sprint backlog. We don't have any tasks yet, but we should probably create a task. So for the fixed shopping cart bug, you know, let's bring that one up. And maybe we'll create a task for it. We'll just do some high-level ones here. Write a failing unit test. And, I don't know, remaining work, let's say that's 4 hours of work. And we're going to say that, you know, Dave is going to sign up to do that one, or Dav. Kind of misspelled his name there. And then let's do another task here, which is going to be to, you know, fix the bug. We'll call that 8 hours of work, and we'll go ahead and leave Dave on task for that one. And you may not know all of these at sprint planning. You know, you might start to see these emerge during the sprint, which is fine. You know, I don't know that a mature team or an immature team should have, you know, these identified during sprint planning. But I will say that if you want your sprint burndown chart to be as accurate as possible, as early as possible, you want to try to get the effort, task effort, estimated as early as possible. Even if you wanted to say, hey, to fix this bug, we need a task that says, write a failing test and fix it, you know, and then do some regression testing and call it 16 hours. And then that'll get the burndown chart accurate. And then you know in a few days you're going to break that 16-hour task down into, you know, some fours and an eight or something like that. So there's a lot of little tricks you can do there from a Scrum perspective. Now these tasks now, we're going to leave sprint planning. We're going to get some people in the morning that can come in and they've already got some work started. And maybe you don't want to assign these either. You know, I've talked to some other teams that just want to leave this blank. And the team is mature enough that they can say, hey, I'm done with what I'm working on, and go pull from kind of a unowned task list. You know, you'd have to create that query over there. But just, hey, show me what else I can be doing. You can have tasks also have a sprint backlog priority, so you can set up any technical dependencies and show them with that priority value there. And that's good enough. We've got our sprint backlog put together a little bit. All right, let's come back to this. So then your daily activities, and this is just, you know, as you're doing each day, you get in, you have your daily stand-up, and then you go back to your desk, and what do you do for the other 7 hours and 45 minutes? Well, you're working with work items, you're seeing what your tasks are, you're writing code, you're writing tests, you're doing architecture and database duties, you're checking in. I'm a big fan of when you check in, you associate with exactly one work item, and it's always a task. You know, I know that this guidance varies from document to document and training class to training class, but for Scrum and for the Scrum template, you're looking at task burndown, and the way you do that is you update your remaining hours per task. So I think as you do some work and you check in against a task and you want to bump it down from 8 to 4, you know, you do that. Some people say, no, you always check in bug fixes against the bug work item. And I can't argue that except to say that your burn down won't be accurate unless you update the associated task. And, you know, it's just my guidance. A lot of people have agreed with me over the years. Just real simple. Check in to one work item and make sure it's a task. Update remaining work. As you finish a task, you know, you're going to mark it, set the state to done, set the hours remaining to zero, and then that will just, you know, work itself out on the burn down. You should also periodically sit down with the product owner, as I said, with the product backlog and groom it. Any identified impediments, work items need to be created, and then just keep your eye on the sprint backlog query and the sprint burn down report to monitor progress. So let me bounce back here and show you a couple of those things. So then if I come along as Dave here, so let me run as Dave, open that up. And I hope I don't have a problem with the spelling there. That's a good sign. Okay, so we're going to pull up the sprint backlog here. And of course, we could have a, you know, another query there called My Sprint Backlog, which just brings up the PBIs and bugs that have tasks assigned to me. If you played with the queries in 2010 yet, but this hierarchy here and also the different icons over here can show you whether it's a flat list or a tree view or, you know, a nested query. So here's my task to fix the bug. So let's say I go and I fix the bug and I check in my edits against the source control tree and I associate with the bug and I'm all fixed. So I would mark this down to zero. I'd set the state. No, it would have been in progress. Forgive me. I missed a step there. And then it would have gone to done. That's the normal progression. New or to do, to in progress, to done. And you can pretty much bounce it to remove at any time unless it's done. So save the work item. And now this will affect the burn down report, and I believe it also affects the sprint backlog. It's not showing any hours left, is it? No. Okay, so I guess the way it works here is it's showing tasks except for the ones that are removed. You could also have just update this. Let's say not in group, removed or done. So only the ones that are to do or in progress. And I'm totally editing this query to look like the work in progress one, but you'll get the idea here. Yeah, pretty sure I marked that one done. Yeah. Not in group, removed, or done. I give up. I don't know why it's not showing up. And I said, if you're the Scrum Master and maybe you hear some disturbing news at the daily Scrum, you might want to come in here and create a new work item, which would be an impediment. And the impediment might be that, you know, we need to upgrade SQL Server 2008 to R2. Description, the team is blocked from creating and using, you know, the power pivot coolness features. So that's something that then would be placed into the impediment list, and that the Scrum Master can work with Ops, IT, you know, whoever to get that removed. And there's queries for that as well. Otherwise, you're just kind of doing your work, and you're making sure that your work items get updated to reflect that. Then, at the end of the sprint, you know, you're doing some engineering things like labeling the code and, you know, delivering the MSIs or the delivered product, making sure version control is all good. As far as branching goes, I've got a bullet here at the bottom. I'm a big fan of branching so long as A, you do it for a good reason, and B, you do it as late as responsible. So for the example of hot fixing, label your code. You know, label it when you release it at the end of sprint one. Call it sprint one. And then, you know, a few weeks later, if that actually went to production and you need to make a hot fix, you can go back and say, hey, branch as of label sprint one. And then you do your edits, and then you can merge it back into the active development line if you need to. But teams that just branch at the end of the sprint just because it's, you know, their process, they're not really gaining anything. You can branch from a label at a later time. So then after you do the sprint review, you know, the product owner accepts your work or your bug fix, you'd mark that's a done so that it would show up in your release burndown and show up in your velocity report. If you've got any unfinished work, you'd need to handle that accordingly. You know, put it back in the backlog, set the iteration back to the root, which represents it being, you know, done, not in that sprint anymore and back into the generic backlog. Update your hours, put in your notes there, whatever. Also, you should probably at the sprint retrospective meeting capture any retrospective feedback on the sprint work item. And let me just show you a couple of those things real quick. So if I bring up my product backlog, and we've got all of our associated tasks here. Actually, it's written backlog. So let's say that we've completed this shopping cart bug according to our acceptance criteria. We would want to then change this to done because the product owner has actually accepted it. You'd want to make sure that all of the constituent tasks underneath it are also done, hours to zero, you know, so that all is a unit of done work. Now, there is no web service in the Scrum 1.0 template that rolls these things up for you. If any of you on the line have used the EMC template, the Scrum for Team System template, I really like that web service that they install. You know, it's a little bit persnickety at times, but it will do things like, you know, if the tasks are at zero and done, it will make the associated PBI done, or it'll roll up a sum of all of the hours remaining and show as a kind of a denormalized summary on the PBI, so you can see that at a glance. Microsoft has that feedback, and I imagine a future version of this template, and probably the other templates as well, would enjoy a feature like that. But we don't have it yet, so you're doing a lot of manual editing of hours and states to make sure you get that. And then to close this down properly, we'd want to go back to our Sprint 1 work item. So let's come back here to All Sprints, Edit Sprint 1. You know, there is not really a way here to check a box or choose from a drop-down and say the sprint was successful or, yes, we met our sprint goal or whatever. Now, that would be neat, you know, so you could look back at your velocity over time and maybe the blocks that are showing you your story points that you accomplished, you know, could be green, red, meaning that, yeah, we did a lot of stories, but we didn't meet our sprint goal or vice versa. But what you do have here is this retrospective tab where you can capture, hey, what worked, Dave and Wade worked well together and, you know, didn't actually kill each other as they paired. What didn't work? Well, that's, you know, Bugzilla app just, you know, stinks. We should do 100% of our defect tracking in TFS, and what will we do differently? You know, see above and put more Red Bulls in the fridge. Whatever. You know, retrospectives are meant to capture not just the sad path, but also happy path and success information as well. So that's a quick run through. I've got one more really cool thing to show you here, and then I want to open up to some questions. And that is and I really tried to embellish how difficult it is to do this manually. You know, Team Explorer, even Excel, is just not a good tool for doing both planning of the sprint and your product backlog, or managing the sprints. And what I'm talking about here is task boards. You know, I got the first email I got after my webcast a couple days ago was, where's the task board? You know, there are open source task boards out there. Scrum for Team System has one. There's a number of them out there from, you know, for the rallies and those that have these kind of features, but Microsoft doesn't have one. But I'd say the best one out there and it works really good, and I've got it installed here. I was going to demo it real quick, is Urban Turtle. If you just go to urbanturtle.com, you can download this guy if you're interested in buying it. There's a 15% off discount code. Just use Excensient when you order. But it's a great web-based way to do planning as well as InSprint task board. And it just integrates right there with your team web access. So let me show you this. Give me a second here. In fact, I think Dominic's on the line. I'm going to see Dominic. Are you, you're just watching on the web. Okay, I was going to make you a presenter, and you could tell us all the details here. Dominic works for Pixis, who actually does the Urban Turtle product. But let me just demo this. And then if we have any questions, maybe we can get him to dial in and help field some questions. So I'll save this, close down. And we're not even talking about using Visual Studio. It's actually available from the web access. I could have just typed the URL in, but we're talking about this hyperlink right here. And let me just let me do this. I've got a shortcut right here. And I'll just run it as the person I'm logged in as. So it's just the server, the port, CFS, web, and then I'm logged in as Andy, the administrator. That's good enough. And then I've got my Northwind here. But you see anything different? You guys have probably been here 100 times. Home, work items, source, build. Hey, planning board and task board. Kind of some new things there. That's the Urban Turtle. It integrates nicely with this. And, oh, that's not good. That wasn't working like that a minute ago. Let me bring it up a different way. It could be that how I was logged in there was giving me that grief. Nope. Not happy. I was working with this just before the call here. Here we go. All right, so real quickly here, and then I want to go to some wrap up and some questions. You've got the planning board here, which at a high level, you know, helps you look at the product backlog items, the bugs, the tasks, and it really does help you just there's drag and drop, you know, support in here. So if you want to move these things around and put them in different sprints and just plan your development effort, you can over here on the left for your iterations and your areas. It's all drag and drop friendly. When you're into an actual sprint, you can bring up the task board and make sure you're looking at the right sprint, and then you can move your work items through the different states, just like any task board would. Hypothetically. Horrible demo. I don't know why I'm doing... Why this is happening to me. It was working great a minute ago. If I logged out and logged in, I'd probably have no problem, but the run as is probably causing this thing some grief, so we'll get that worked out.
Richard, did you sacrifice a chicken?
I cut my thumb open.
That's not enough. The gods aren't happy.
All right. Well, I'd need maybe two chickens, one for each tab here. All right, let's wrap up then. Get some time for questions here. Real briefly, you know, we go through this exact kind of material in this 5-day Scrum Developer Program. I think a few of the trainers are on the call right now. This is a program that we developed with Microsoft and with Scrum.org that actually takes a team of developers and teaches them modern engineering practices and develop an increment of done functionality that's potentially shippable using VS, ALM, and the Scrum framework. And there is an assessment piece to this. You can take an assessment exam online and become a certified professional Scrum developer. So I've got a link here to the Scrum templates, the guidance, the process templates and tools page on MSDN, and then the bottom links there are to the Professional Scrum Developer Program and also Urban Turtle. And I'll be making these bookmarks available as well as my demo stuff on my blog, and then Chuck will have the video for us here in a couple days for part two anyway. You can find pretty much any interesting blog out there on VS, ALM. I've got 150 feeds. I aggregate this on a searchable page on our site. And if you just pop into community.accenture.com and search on Scrum or, you know, search on definition of done or whatever, you'll find some interesting posts. And you can click on the blog as well and, you know, go and bookmark that person's blog if you like it. And if you know of any blogs that I'm not aggregating, and how do you know what I'm aggregating? You can just click the link down here, the 150 feeds, and it gives you an OPML friendly XML document back, and you can look through there. And if your blog's missing or your favorite, you know, ALM, Visual Studio, Scrum blog is missing, just email me and I'll get it in there. So with that, I'll leave up this page here and ask if there's any questions.
Well, we're waiting for someone else to jump on. Richard, you mentioned that there's trainers on the phone. So is there more in-depth training that you guys do on this topic?
Exactly, yeah. That Professional Scrum Developer course is a five-day class. We teach the fundamentals of using Visual Studio to implement Scrum, and then we actually give the teams problems. You know, some of them are brownfield, some of them are greenfield problems to solve. And they work as a team in a time box. They meet their definition of done. They come up to the front of the room, and with the lights in their eyes, they, you know, do a demonstration of their increment of work, and we accept it or we reject it, and retrospective, and then we do another one, then we do another one. It's pretty brutal. It's very immersion-style training.
Are they scheduled already? Do you have a calendar that you can show us?
Yeah, let me see if I can bring that up.
Hopefully I'm not picking on you. Is this okay?
It's fine, yeah.
Okay. I just don't see anybody else unmuting their phone.
So the place to go for the training is just scrum.org. And this is where you can find the official Scrum guide in your native language and also where you can attend a course. So you can find a course worldwide, both for the two-day Scrum in-depth course, which is just teaching, you know, teams or Scrum Masters, professional Scrum developers, about Scrum, or you can actually find the Professional Scrum Developer class, and there are .NET and Java flavors of it. So you can see in August, September, I've got a class scheduled. Where is it? It's in. I thought it was on here. I've got a class scheduled at Microsoft actually in mid-September. I need to make sure it's added to this. But there's a number of these classes coming up, you know, before the end of the year. Now there's a Java one in Switzerland. Yeah, so just scrum.org, and you can go to the courses search and sign up for a class or just learn more. If anybody on the phone here is interested in becoming a trainer, you can just pop in here to the, I think it's Programs and Professional Scrum Developer. And somewhere in here, there's the assessment. Yeah, I should learn this site. Somewhere is a link for, like, I want to become a trainer. Maybe they've moved it on me and I'm just not seeing it. Well, I know it's on the Microsoft site. So if we go to one of the bit.ly addresses there, you can bring that up. And at the bottom is a link, I want to be a trainer. So I guess maybe to wrap it up, it's a V1 product. You know, there are a few niceties that I would like to see. I think maybe some of the Agile planning workbooks that we liked in the MSF5 template, you know, could be ported over to Scrum. Alexi, if you're on the call, I think I tasked you to do that a couple days ago. And I understand that, you know, it doesn't have all the information in the template that you need. I think some of the other engineering reports could be brought over. And I think that, you know, there could be a lot more automation, a web service, like I mentioned, that does the roll-up for you and does things like if you thought the story was done, but one task underneath it went from, you know, done back to in progress, maybe the story went back to in progress. You know, little things like that that cascaded updates, you know, up and down those links. And then on obviously a good task board. I think Urban Turtle is a good approach. It's built into the web. It's got drag and drop, and you should go to their site and take a look at it.
Well, Richard, if we have another questions, I'm going to go ahead and pause the recording or stop the recording and save it out so I can put it online. I want to thank you very much for joining us. Alexi, I'm looking forward to seeing you in Columbus. Hopefully I can make it out. I see Chris Tellier is in Texas, and Richard, of course, you're going to have to catch up with me when you're on campus.
Definitely.